Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live today. This is a real live broadcast. Those of you online listening to me now may hear it in the future, so in that case, we'll consider it almost live. The title or topic that we're speaking of today is the subject of the Quran and its being the foundation for the youth, for our Muslim children. We're basing a lot of this on Surah Al-Luqman. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain. Today we're located in Claremont, California. We're here in the Masjid, in Earthquake Alley. We just had an earthquake today, by the way. For those of you who didn't know it, we had an earthquake out here. It wasn't so big here, but they said it was pretty decent where it hit out in Anas, something like that, California. A-N-A-S. Showed it on the news. It's a pretty good little space, like 5 miles long. Opened up the ground. Threw some dirt up in the air. I want to go home. I want to go back to Washington, D.C. We don't, by the way, I'm from Texas originally. We don't have earthquakes in Texas. Not that I'm aware of. Well, it's just like weird. When the hotel started shaking and the TV started moving around and the dresser was bouncing up and down and I'm looking at this stuff, I'm going, whoa, man, people are having a real big party for this time of day, you know, in the next room. I can't imagine. And then I realized this is an earthquake. Everybody in California is like, oh, okay, so what else is there? Should be talking about Iza Zulzilatul Ardu Zilzalaha, but today we're going to be talking about what Allah said in the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. I seek refuge in Allah from the condemned devil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious and most merciful. And I'm reading to you now from Surah Al-Luqman. Allah says, Tilka ayatul kitabi al-hakim. And that means these are the verses of a wise book, the wise book. And he uses the word huda. And now huda or hidayah is what we're all looking for. When we say adina siratul mustaqim, that's what we're asking Allah for guidance. And he's saying this is the guidance. Wa rahma, and it's the mercy. Lil muhsinin, and that's for the muhsinin, and these are the people who do good. Who are the ones going to be guided by Quran? Are the people that do good things. And they're the ones who, alladhina yuqimuna salata, they establish the salah. Wa yutu zakat, and it means they pay the zakat. I'm not really reading the Arabic because it's too small for my eyeballs, but I know what it says. It means they pay the zakat and they have faith in the hereafter. And this is such who are on guidance from the Lord, and such as are successful. This is similar to the way Surah Al-Baqarah starts out. Very similar, telling about who are the people going to be guided by the Quran. And of mankind is the one who purchases idle talks to mislead from the path of Allah without knowledge, and they take the path of Allah or verses of Quran by way of mockery. And for such, there will be a humiliating torment in the hellfire. Now, about this verse, I want you to know that Abdullah ibn Abbas, this is a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and considered maybe one of the top of the scholars of his time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says about this verse that it's talking about musical instruments. And he swears that that's what this is talking about, which is these idle talk or misleading away from the path of Allah. He said it's music. And he should know because he knew the Prophet ﷺ. And although this is not a hadith, it certainly is evidence enough for us to say that it's something for us to be aware of. It also tells us, narrated, now this is a hadith, narrated on the authority of Abu Amr or Abu Malik al-Ashari, he said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is talking about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that from among my followers there'll be some who will consider illegal sex, men wearing silk, alcoholic drinks, the use of musical instruments to be lawful. Now, Wearing of silk for men is not permitted in Islam. And obviously illegal sex is not permitted. And drinking alcohol is not permitted. And then in here is this reference to musical instruments. This is definitely right there as a part of things people will consider to be halal. So it appears very much to me that this is saying musical instruments are not. And there will be some who will stay near the side of a mountain. And in the evening, when the shepherd comes to them with their sheep and asks for something, but they're going to say, come back tomorrow. This is somebody obviously is coming to get his pay, his wages or something. And they say, ah, come back tomorrow. Allah will destroy them during the night and let the mountain fall on them. And Allah will transform the rest of them into monkeys and pigs. And they will stay in this condition until Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. This is a Sahih Hadith, by the way. You can find it in Volume 7 of the English translation, Hadith number 494B. As in bad. Now, why would I stop here and give this tafsir of this ayah when we're supposed to be talking about our youth? Because obviously our youth are very impressed by music. Our youth are impressed by musical instruments and all that goes along with it. And this is considered normal. Why? Because all the other youths are doing the same thing. What would you say to your child when he comes to you and said, hey, everybody at my school is doing it? You say, well, you don't do it. So, okay, you're a Muslim. Muslims don't do that. So he goes to the Islamic school on the weekend, to the mosque on Sunday, which happens to be today. And he comes home and he says, but Dad, all the other Muslim kids are doing it. Why can't I do it? Then what would be your answer? Somebody was asking me today something about, can we put our children in this school right over here, this high school over here? I said, I don't think so. When you put your children in any school, which is not teaching straight from Quran and Sunnah, you are risking a big damage to them. If you put them, as an example, a Catholic school is strict and they don't allow a lot of foolishness and drugs and things, but still, they are teaching something that's not based on our beliefs. Children will be affected by that. I recall when I first got to Islam, I was brand new to Islam, but I'm not brand new to the idea of putting your children in parochial school, because my father and I, have worked in parochial schools and in religious education since forever. My father started out an organization called the Religious Education Society in the 1960s, and then he opened up Concerned Christian Centers in the 1970s. So I'm very familiar about this, and I know churches will expend a lot of money to send out buses to catch kids and bring them over so they get this indoctrination or teaching. They will spend great amounts of their resources for this, because they know what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us. The principle is what? Rasulullah ﷺ said that every child is born on the fitra of al-Islam. But it is the parents that will raise them up to become Christians or Jews or fire worshippers. Majusi is a fire worshipper. Now, I will share with you what I heard from the Catholics. We also, even though we were Protestants, we did work with all faiths. And we heard the priests say about the children and bringing these children in to learn from them. They said, get them before they're 8, before it's too late. Get them before they're 8, before it's too late. That's their saying. Whoa, that fits, doesn't it? Same as Rasulullah saying, the youth need to be influenced early, because the parents or somebody will change them. Their environment or whatever, the school you put them in, will it change them? At the time of Rasulullah, did they have public schools like we have today? No, they did not. So there wasn't really a concern of where you're going to send your kids. Everybody knew. The children are going to be educated by who? The mother. Who do they stay with when they're little? They go with the father or the mother? Everybody knows that. The biggest influence is from the mother. Now, because the child grows up with the mother, he takes advantage of her. This is obvious. Because of the familiarity, they will do that after a period of time. Children will stop listening to the mother. One of the things the mother says over and over and over in Arabic, la, 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 no, 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 don't touch this, don't do that, no, no, no. So the child becomes totally immune to that sound. The mother saying la, it's like, okay, whatever. So that's when the mother gets fed up with this is age what? 5, 6, 7, 8, right in there. And she tells the father, take this boy, take this girl, and do something with this child. I'm fed up. They don't listen to me. Is that my true or wrong? Yes? They don't listen to me anymore. Take this kid. Now it's the father's turn. So he takes the kid. Now the child is not used to the father so much. And when the father said, let's go to the masjid. Right? This is the best case scenario. They go to the masjid. And when they walk in the door, if they start fooling around, father tap them on the head. Hey, don't do that. Okay. Now, the father and the child will build this relationship after a while. It'll take maybe 5 or 10 years, but somewhere in there, the child's going to be looking at the father like, yeah, whatever. It's going to happen again. And what happens is they rebel against the parent. This is normal. Don't think your child is bad, by the way. This is normal because they've been exposed to this particular thing so long, and now inside of them there's something saying, well, try something else. Try something else. So they will explore other things. And this is okay. You have to watch it. Of course, you don't want them to try weird stuff, you know, but still, children are going to ask questions. They're going to say, well, what about this? What about that? And you said, well, why do you keep bugging me? You know, well, why do we do this? Just because Muslims do that. That's it. Don't ask me. Well, that's really not a fair answer for them. But sometimes parents don't know what to say or they're too busy. This is why, parents, listen to me. This is why you'll find sometimes that you've tried and tried everything with this child and you're just on the point of giving up. When suddenly a cousin or an uncle, or in the case of a girl, an aunt, the grandmother, the grandparent, somebody comes into the picture. The child goes off with them for a weekend or a week or something like that, and they come back, and they're saying all the same stuff that you've been telling them for 10 years. And they're saying, whoa, look at this and look at that. You said, I'm trying to tell you that. But suddenly, it's because somebody else said it, they could hear it. Does it make sense? You understand? This is all that happened. It's not your fault. It's normal. This is the way children react. You can look and see this is in all societies. This is not religion. This is the child. This is just how it happens. It's your relationship. Don't panic. Don't think that they hate you or that they don't like Islam or there's a problem. This is normal. And a certain amount of that you must learn how to tolerate. Don't break the child. Now, I want to talk about a wife just for 1 second, because you can't imagine having children without having a husband and a wife. There's a relationship between the husband and the wife before we ever start talking about children. It needs to be in place, and if it's correct, then it's easier to deal with the children. And what is the relationship? Now, the people today in psychology and sociology, the people telling us how to behave and how to think, they're constantly going back to the drawing board and reformatting everything and saying, okay, we were wrong about that. You know, what we said 10 years ago, it's different. It's like this now. Or what we said last year, it's changed. We found out that's all wrong. Statistics say laboratory rats and things. We found out, does it work? Or even what we said on TV yesterday, oops, we're calling back that drug because it's no good anymore, right? This is their real world. With Islam, it's not like that. What Allah said 1,400 years ago sticks today. Same thing. No difference. Well, the Prophet ﷺ told us still is as valid now as it was then. If you didn't understand it, that's your problem. But don't think that Allah made a mistake. So that's why we're here today. We want to see, you know, how are we supposed to understand it? What are we supposed to do? Allah, I'm going to continue. I'm going to pick up at verse 7 here, because I don't want to get too far away from my subject. But Allah made it clear for us that the man and the woman are different. So don't talk about equality. Equal means the same. Yes or no? If you have an equals mark on a piece of paper, and you have 1 plus 1 on one side, what has to be on the other side of equals? 2. Because it's the same thing. It's just a different way to say the same thing. Isn't it? So if I put male on one side of the equals, I have to put on the other side, what? Man, not female. Because male doesn't equal female. Right? If I put child on one side of the equals, I have to put kid or some word like this on the other side. I can't put adult because they're not the same. Isn't that true? So let's don't play a stupid game of saying equal. We want everything equal. Oh, wait, it doesn't work like that. What you want is called equity. I want equity. What is equity? Equity is that you're going to have what's due to you in value. Are you the same as me? Exactly? No. We are men. Both of us are men. But we're not exactly the same. I'm exceedingly handsome. I can't help it. And I'm shy about it too, by the way. Anyhow. Oh boy. Where do we get this guy? But seriously, I weigh maybe, I'm going to guess I weigh at least 50 or 60 pounds more than you weigh. Because I'm almost 240 pounds. I'm pretty heavy. Yes. And I'm probably taller than most of the guys here too. Yes. I'm probably older. So how would I be equal? And if you said, oh, I'm going to take this gentleman in the blue shirt. Right? Okay. How old are you? You're 16 years old. And I'm 61 years old. I'm the opposite of you in number, huh? 1661, right? So somebody could play the equals game and say, well, 6116 equal. Okay, great. But here comes the point. If somebody said to you right now, you could choose whatever you would like to do this afternoon, what activity that you would really enjoy and have a lot of fun with, you might like to say swimming, basketball, soccer, games. What would you probably say? Basketball. And if they came to me and said, Sheikh, you can do anything you'd like to do this afternoon, I'd say, man, that's fantastic. Just imagine the most pleasure you can get. I'm saying, I've got it. You know, I'm going to the hotel room, curl up with a book, I'm going to lay there and go to sleep. Why? That's my equity, man. That's what I'm looking for. You see, what do we want to play basketball? Is that a video game? No? No, then I'm not interested. Right? Why? Because we're not the same, are we? No, we're not. And how much more wrong would it be to say that a woman and a man are equal? Oh my God. We just found out, look, we're not equal. Why do you want to say that? Because somebody brainwashed you into this idea. Woman's equal to a man. Why? Uh-huh. Well, you can figure out why if you think about it. If they're so equal to a man and there's no difference, okay? Now, I want you to go and look, and I really don't want you to look at TV. It's not good for your eyeballs. But why on the television are the commercials showing a naked woman selling the car to you instead of a naked man? Huh? Huh? Be honest. When I put all of these ads for real estate and automobiles and different things, they want you to come to the gym and build your muscles. Why do they keep bringing women into the picture and she doesn't have any clothes on? Why? It was so equal. Huh? And you know the answer. You know the answer. Another point about this equality thing. A woman, as soon as she becomes a woman, is not a little girl anymore, for the rest of her life until she becomes quite old, she has one time of the month that she is very uncomfortable and she has pain and she suffers, and Allah made a way for her that she doesn't have to pray during that time. Is that true or false? Yes? Would you like to cancel that and say, I want to be equal to the man? Huh? I don't think so. And what about when she's pregnant and carrying a baby? Does Allah give concession for her make things nice. She doesn't have to do this, don't have to fast, you know.
Yes?
So you want to cancel that too? No, I don't think so. So we take this idea of equality and toss it. What we have is equity. Allah built a whole life style for each and every person. Even though generally it's the same, worship one God with no partners. But individually, you have certain things for you. Suppose a person doesn't have a leg. Allah has already provision for that. If they don't have an arm, there's a provision for that. If they're not able to stand, there's a provision in the salah. But you know you have to make qiyam is the first part of salah. Yes? If you made qiyam, that means you're standing up, so the person with no legs can't pray. Unless you have the concession that they can sit down. And it's there, of course. So we don't say equal, we say equity, but we want to be sure people get their equity. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that anybody can take advantage of somebody else, because it's absolutely not true. That's not going to be permissible. Alhamdulillah. I got off my subject a little bit because I wanted to bring about one hadith of Rasulullah SAW about women. He tells us about women. He's given advice for marriage that a woman is made from a curved bone of Adam. He's talking about Eve, but all women. And she's a curved bone of Adam. And he said, don't try to straighten it, because you'll break it. It doesn't mean, by the way, that she's corrupt. It means that she is different. And she has her own way. And you need to just leave her alone. And let her do her thing. And when she says, I don't like the furniture like this, I want it rearranged, she didn't ask you for your logic. She wants it rearranged. If you said, yeah, but the couch is best under the thing over here, and that sits over there, and I just, no. She wants it moving. And when she's all done and look at it, she'll say, you know, you're right, I don't like it that way, move it back. Just go, alhamdulillah, and move it back. And if she asks you to move it again, then you've learned a very valuable lesson. You know what that is? Why are you staying home when you should have gone to the masjid? Yes. Yes. Now you know why the sahabi spent so much time in the masjid. They didn't want to move. Astaghfirullah. Don't pay attention to me too much. I'm just having some fun today. Alhamdulillah. But I do want to get to our point about the children. So let's keep reading through the Quran. Verily, verse 7. And when Allah's verses of the Quran are recited to these people, the ones who play with the deen, the ones who do the idle talk, like to listen to the music, and sell out deen and make fun of it, he turns away in pride. Turns away in pride. And the word here was mustakbira. Mustakbira. It's from the word kabara. That's the root, or kibr. And it makes him actually in partnership against Allah, because Allah is akbar. That's why kibr is so dangerous. You want to avoid this at all costs, and this pride. Because it makes it so that it's as if he doesn't hear these verses, as if there were deafness in his ear, so announced to him a painful torment. Adab and Alim. Verily those who believe in the Ladina Amanu wa amilu salahati lahum jannatun naim. This is jannatun naim, by the way. Those who do, they believe, they do righteous good deeds, for them are gardens. Jannah, gardens of delight in the paradise. To abide therein, and it's a promise of Allah in truth, and He is Almighty the Wise. Listen to this. He's the one who created the samawati, the heavens, without any pillars that you see, and He set on the earth firm mountains, lest it shake with you. We had a taste of shaking today, didn't we? And He has scattered therein moving creatures of all kinds, and Allah sends down rain from the sky and causes plants of every good kind to grow therein. This is the creation of Allah. So show me, meaning Allah, that which those whom you worship beside him have created. Nay, the Zalimun are in plain error. These are the ones who are wrongdoers and polytheists. They worship Allah. And indeed, Allah bestowed upon Luqman al-Hikmah, wisdom and religious understanding, saying, give thanks to Allah, and whoever gives thanks, he gives thanks for the good of himself. And whoever is unthankful, then verily Allah is all rich, free of any needs, worthy of all praise. A comment about that. Did you know you were saying something like this every day in Salat? If you pray five times a day, there's, I think, 17 rak'ah total if you do. And you'll find you're saying this 17 times a day, which is, Sami Allahu liman hamida. That Allah hears the one who praises him. This is what it says right here. And give thanks to Allah. Whoever gives thanks to Allah, he gives thanks for his own good. So this is Rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kabirin, tayyibin, mubarakan kathirin. And you should be saying this in the salat and thanking Allah. And remember when Luqman said to his son, when he was giving advice to him, O my son, do not join in worship others with Allah. Verily, joining others in worship with Allah is a great lulm, a great wrong. Wa idh qala Luqman li abihi, to his son, wa huwa ya'idhuhu, ya bunah, O my son, la yushrik. What is yushrik? To make shirk. Don't make shirk. Don't make partners. Billahi, with Allah. Inna ishrika la dhulman adheem. For this is surely a great ism and great dhulm. Because in another ayah, Allah said it was ism. Adheem, great ism, to make shirk, partners with Allah. That's in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 48. He said, verily, he does not forgive people who make shirk or partners with him, but anything less than this he can forgive, and certainly anybody who makes shirk is committed a great sin. Then he says, and we'll continue Allah saying, and Allah has enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship. And his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to Allah and to your parents. And unto Allah is the final return, final destination. Did you hear that? How much is the importance of a mother? We all know the hadith, your mother, your mother, your mother, and then your father. This is an ayah. This is in Quran. And Allah said, very clear, you understand now that Allah has ordered man to be good to his parents. This is not a suggestion. It's an order. And then he doesn't mention the father. He mentions the mother first. He said the mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship, and the weaning of the child is 2 years. Give thanks unto Allah and to your parents. Right after thanking Allah, you thank your parents. And unto me is the final destination. For our youth listening to me right now, be aware that it's important. You have to be good to your parents. It's not a suggestion. It is an order from Allah. And with that, we're going to wind this section of it down. And we're going to ask Allah to accept from all of us and keep us on this Sirat al-Mustaqim. There's more coming up. Stay tuned right here on Islam Tomorrow.